Wow, guys, thank you for that warm welcome this morning. I was not expecting that. Y'all made me feel like $1 million. Trying to turn this iPad on. Awesome. How's everyone doing? Yeah? Awesome. Well, I am so humbled and so honored that Pastor Jack asked me to preach this morning because it's Mother's Day. What an honor. Moms, we honor you this morning. Where are all my mamas in the house at? Yes, all my moms, my grandmas, my spiritual moms. Hey, thank you for what you do because it's only you that can do that, okay? You fill in such a special role. You are doing God's holy work, raising up these babies in the ways of the Lord. We see you, we thank you, we honor you. So thank you, moms, all over this room. And then I wanted to take a moment to honor Pastor Jack and Shelley. Again, thank you guys so much for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly. They have served faithfully at Grace Point Church for over 20 years, and they love you guys. They pray for you guys. They just love this church so much. So I just want to take a moment to honor them. Thank you, Pastor Jack and Shelley, for what you do for this church body. Yes, amen. Well, I just wanted to open us up in a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to get into God's word this morning. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that is in this room today. I pray, God, that this word would go forth in the mighty name of Jesus and that it wouldn't be my words, that it wouldn't be my message, God, but that it would be yours. So I pray, God, for your presence to fill this house today. And we pray that everyone in this room would receive something from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, I'm super excited, like I said, and I love Grace Point Church, okay? I know I'm a little biased because I work here, I do life here, but this is a special place, okay? I've gone to so many churches before when I was in Bible college. I've been a part of mega churches. I've been a part of tiny churches. I've been a part of churches where you got to set it up because it's meeting in a movie theater, okay? I've been to all types of churches, but this place, guys, this is a special place, and God is doing something really special here at Grace Point Church. And I'm so thankful and so honored that my husband and I get to be a part of it and that our babies are getting to be raised here. Church family is so important. And so I'm so honored that I get to share today's word. Today's message is going to be titled Blurred Vision, Bold Faith for all my note takers, okay? So if you're taking some notes, there's your sermon title. And today as I was preparing the message, I was just thinking about all the amazing women in the Bible because it's Mother's Day and we always get to hear about King David and all those amazing men of God. But today I wanted to focus on the women of the Bible. All my women say amen. Yeah, come on, ladies. And so I was reflecting on people like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who gave birth to the Messiah and who she might not have known everything that was going to entail, but she was probably unsure of his future. She probably didn't have all the answers, but she stayed faithful and obedient to accomplish the will of God in her and through her. I think of Queen Esther, who sacrificed so much. She was chosen as the queen, and she put herself in a risky situation to save her people. I think of Ruth, who refused to abandon her mother-in-law when it would have been easier to go off and do her own thing. I think of Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed and believed for a child. And when God finally answered that heart's desire, she dedicated that child back to the Lord. And then I think of Mary of Bethany, who put all her work aside to sit down at the feet of Jesus when she had 1 million other things that needed to get done. But she chose what mattered most. So as I was thinking about all of these godly women in the Bible, I wondered, God, how did they do it? How did they stay so steadfast and faithful in times of uncertainty? Maybe they didn't have the whole picture laid out for them, but how did they just cling tight to you, Jesus? What was it that motivated them to keep trusting in you in the midst of uncertainty? Because life can be hard, guys, right? Yes, life is hard. Life is full of challenges and ups and downs and uncertainty. And at times, disappointment and heartbreak. And so in those times, how do we stay steadfast? How do we stay faithful in the midst of it all? And so I want to open up with 1 Corinthians 13:12. And it says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." And so I wanted to throw up a picture of a couple of mirrors here, okay? So these are the types of mirrors that Paul is referring to in the Bible. When we think of a mirror, we probably think of the ones that we have nowadays where it's like a really clear reflection. You can see pretty clearly what you're looking at. But here, this is what Paul is referring to. And these are pictures of some mirrors that were actually found early last year that date back to 2,300 years ago. And so in these, we see that it's basically just a piece of polished metal. So that's what Paul was referring to as the mirror. So if you try to use that to look at your reflection, it's probably not going to be clear, right? It's probably going to be a little dim, a little foggy, a little bit blurry. So what I found interesting is that this is what Paul was talking about. He wasn't talking about the mirrors that we know today. So in other words, Paul is saying to us that right now, we cannot see clearly. Right now, it looks a little bit foggy. It looks a little bit confusing. We don't know what it's going to really look like. But one day when we are standing face to face with our Creator, we will be able to see clearly the plan and the purpose that He has laid out for us in all of those hard moments that we're walking through and every tough decision that we face. We'll be able to look back and see that God had His hand on every single part of it. And so I love that reminder that Paul gives us. See, faith isn't about seeing everything clearly, guys. It wouldn't be faith if we knew what the outcome was going to be, right? But it's about trusting in the God who sees it all. In the struggles, the confusion, and the waiting. I got anybody in a waiting season right now? Yes. I've been there. It's hard, okay? I'm not going to downplay this. Life can be hard sometimes. And then it can feel like God isn't with us, but God is always present, even if He feels distant or hidden. And one of the scriptures that I've found comfort in when I find myself in one of those seasons asking God, "God, what are you doing? What are you doing in this season? I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I'm very confused. I feel lost. What are you doing, God?" In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." See, I love this scripture because God is reminding us, like, hey, I know you don't have the answer. I know you don't have it all figured out. I know that in your carnal mind, you cannot comprehend what I am doing right now. But my ways are higher, and my way is better, and the thoughts that I have, you cannot even see it now, what I'm about to do. I love that reminder. So how do we keep going in times of uncertainty, guys? The first point that I want to make today is that we need to stay in community with other believers. See, I think that sometimes we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and we go to the cute church events. But it's not enough to do that, guys. We have to stay in community with one another. We have to do life together because we cannot do this thing alone. In the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we see Paul writing a series of encouraging letters, instructions, and warning to Timothy. Paul was Timothy's mentor, okay? And so we see him encouraging him in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 19. He says, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you, based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you to fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear." See, Paul's reminding Timothy, hey, Timothy, don't forget what was spoken about you. Don't forget what was spoken about the calling that is on your life. I know it's going to get hard. I know sometimes you might want to throw in the towel, but don't forget what God is doing in your life. Cling steadfast and faithful to the faith that you have in Jesus. And so we see Paul encouraging Timothy, and we need that encouragement. I need that encouragement, guys. I don't have it all figured out, okay? Newsflash, I'm a person. I'm a human. I don't have life altogether. There are times when I fall flat on my face and I don't know what to do, but thank God for a community of believers who I can call upon to help pray with me, to help encourage me. You know, and I think of Miss Pat. She's not here at the 11 a.m., but she was here earlier, and I wanted to honor her because she comes in every Tuesday to do the count with me at the offices. And a few weeks ago, she said, well, Savannah, how are you doing today? And I said, well, Miss Pat, not so great. I feel like I'm failing as a mom. I feel like I'm not that great of a wife. I feel like I'm just not doing enough. I just feel like I'm not good enough. And she put all her work aside and she looked at me and she said, let's pray together. And she grabbed my hand and she prayed with me and she cried with me and she loved on me and she lifted my spirits up. When I left the offices that day, I was not the same as when I came in there. I began to encourage myself later that day. It's okay, Savannah, you just had a bad day. It's okay, you're just a human, it happens. Keep going, you've got this. You're not a failure, you are a good wife, you are an amazing mom, you can do this. Yes, amen. And I needed Miss Pat's encouragement more than she knows. But thank God for women like Miss Pat. And one thing that I love about Grace Point Church is that we are multi-generational. Look around this room, guys. We got older people, more seasoned people. We got young people sitting right here in the middle. Shout out to my Summit students. Okay? Yes. We are a multi-generational body of believers, and I love that because we need each other, guys. It is such a gift, and we should be leaning into that gift and taking advantage of it because it's so unique and it's so special. And many years ago, when I was working full-time at a different church, and when I was single, before I had met Zach, there was a group of ladies who just took me under their wing, okay? And they loved on me, and they encouraged me, and they were there for me. They showed me how to do life. They were like a season ahead of me, so they were all married, and they had kids and everything. And I just got to watch them model out their faith. I got to watch them serve their church. I got to sit on their couch and watch them love on their families and do the dishes and fold the laundry. And I just got to be a part of what God was doing in their life, and it taught me so much. And I want to talk about Jessica, because Jessica helped change my life in such a miraculous way simply because she loved on me and she invited me in. I considered her like a spiritual mom in that season of my life. She looked at me one day and she said, Mija, do you want to come over for some coffee? I'm going to make you a fresh meal. Come on, come sit at my kitchen table with me while I do all my chores around the house. And I was like, well, okay. And I started doing that weekly. Okay, and she poured into me and she loved on me. And I'll never forget that there was one day, Zach loves Miss Jessica, by the way, okay? Because there was one day where she was like, how's it going today? You know, me and Zach had just started dating. And I was like, oh, it's going okay, but me and Zach are fighting. And she was like, well, what happened? And I told her the whole story and she looked at me and she was like, well, you better call him and apologize to that man of God. And so Zach loves Jessica, okay? Look, yeah, that's the loudest he's been this whole time. He's excited because Jessica called me out on my stuff. She was willing to tell me the hard things as well as encourage me. She was like, uh-uh, you have a bad attitude. You better pick up the phone and apologize because the Word of God says to humble yourself before the Lord. The Word of God says to humble yourself and to ask for forgiveness when you're wrong. So Jessica was willing to tell me like it was, and I didn't like it in the moment, but I know that she loved me and she just wanted better for me. And then there was one time in particular where I was sitting on her couch. I was sitting down and then she sat down at my feet and she looked up at me and she said, you need to forgive. And I was telling her about an offense and somebody who had really hurt me, and I was crying, and I was like, it's just not fair. And she said, we are not leaving this couch today until you forgive. And she pulled out the word, and she opened it up to the scripture where it said that we must forgive others so that God can forgive us. And she reminded me that God wanted me to be free. And she looked at me, and she said, we're not leaving here until you've forgiven, because God wants you to be free today. We're not going to leave. And she prayed with me. We sat there for about an hour, and she looked at me, and she said, pretend I'm the person that hurt you. Pretend it's me and tell me everything you would say to them. So I started telling her all the things, and then she looked at me and she said, I'm so sorry that that happened to you, but it's time to let go and it's time to move on because God has more for you. And thank God for Jessica. I don't get to see her a whole lot nowadays or hear from her much, but in that season of my life, her mentorship was crucial to me growing closer to Jesus. So young people, look at me. You need this older generation that surrounds you to pour their wisdom into you because they know things that you do not know yet. They have been there. They have done that. They have done life. And they just want to encourage you and lift you up and remind you of who God has called you to be. You are not too cool, okay? You're not too cool. You need this older generation of people. And you need to give them permission to correct you when you're wrong. Our generation has believed this lie that if you don't agree with me, and if you don't do things the way I want you to do them, and you must not love me. If you call me out on my stuff, oh, you don't love me, I'm offended. That's not love, guys, because true love calls us higher. True love calls us to be more like Christ. So you need to be willing to receive not just the connection, but the correction too. Yeah. Amen. And see, I was willing to hear what Jessica said to me because she invited me in first. She built that connection with me. She loved on me. She poured into me. So when the correction did come, I received it because I knew that she loved me and that she just wanted me to be more like Christ. Because we don't just need the correction either. We also need the connection part. So older people, invite those young people into your life. Show them that you care about them before you start trying to wag your finger in their face and tell them how to do it right because you know better. No, invite them in. Love on them. Show them how to do this thing called life. Show them how to worship the Lord. Show them how to serve your church. Show them how to love your family. Show them how it's done, guys. I love this quote that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. How true is that? People need to know that they're cared for and loved for. And then let the correction come. But correction and connection, they go hand in hand, and we need to be willing to do both. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. See, guys, we have to stay in community. We can't just show up on Sundays, get here late, and then leave early and expect to have that community. We need to get here early. We need a fellowship with one another. We need to be honest. Because when Miss Pat looked at me the other day and said, how's it going? I could have, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, Miss Pat, which I am, okay? But I was willing to be honest and tell her like it was too. Miss Pat, I'm not doing so good. I've got an attitude today. All right, Zach, calm down. Calm down, Zach. It's Mother's Day. Be nice to me. But look, guys, what I'm trying to say is that we need each other. We really, really need each other to be who God has called us to be and to do this thing called life. Stop trying to do it on your own. I know you're busy. I know you got things to do. I know you got two jobs. I know you got four kids. I know you're busy. But you need to make time for this body of Christ because we're here to encourage you. We're here to uplift each other. We're here to pray with one another. Don't be like somebody who has no one to help them up when they fall. And then my second point is don't look too far ahead. Stay planted with where God has you right now. I think we're guilty, myself included, of always looking to what's next. Like, God, what's the next thing you have for me? And we say things like, God, I'm so over this job. Oh, the people are too difficult to work with. Oh, so-and-so is getting on my nerves. Or my boss is frustrating. I never say that, Pastor Jack, by the way, just so you know. You know, my spouse just doesn't make me happy anymore. I deserve to be happy. I bet someone else will appreciate me more. This church isn't fulfilling my needs anymore. The mega church down the road is better. They got better snacks. They got better opportunities. But don't hear what I'm not saying, guys, because sometimes God does call us to move into a new season. And sometimes God opens up doors of opportunity, and it's time for us to say bye to one season and hello to the next. And if God is prompting you to do that, then you better be obedient to that thing. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we do it prematurely. Sometimes we let our flesh decide what we should be doing because we enjoy our comfort and our happiness more than we enjoy doing what God is calling us to do. And we can't live in that place. We really need to obey what God is asking of us, even if it means sticking it out in the hard stuff. And I was reading about Ruth that I referenced earlier. And, you know, Ruth was incredible because she stayed when it would have been easier to go. You know, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. And she lost her husband and her two sons. And so she asked her two daughter-in-laws, hey, just go on without me. Go back to your family. Go back to your land. I don't have sons for you anymore. I have nothing to offer you. It would be better for you if you just go back, go find a new husband, go find a new family. And God bless Ruth, because Ruth looked at her mother-in-law in tears and said, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. See, Ruth's faithfulness led her to Bethlehem with Naomi, where she starts working in a field so that she can provide for her and Naomi. And while she's working in that field to provide, she meets Boaz, okay? Now, I read in the Bible that Boaz is kind of a hunk of a man of God. And when she's out there serving in the field, she meets Boaz, okay? And Boaz takes care of her. Boaz shows her kindness. Boaz is there to help meet all the needs that she has. And then it says in Ruth 2, 10 through 11, Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. I am only a foreigner. Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and your mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. See, Boaz showed her kindness, and she was like, why are you being so kind to me? I'm a foreigner in this land. And he says, well, you did the harder thing. You stayed faithful. You were there for Naomi. You're helping to support her when it would have been easier to go back to your homeland, to go back to your people. And he reminds her that God is going to bless her and honor that. So Boaz and Ruth end up getting married and having a son named Obed. And Obed becomes the father of Jesse, okay? And the father of Jesse is the father of King David. And we know that Jesus came through that lineage of people. And so staying steadfast and faithful in times of uncertainty opens up doors and has an impact on future generations to come. See, your impact, the yes that you give to God isn't just about you. It impacts the future generations that will come after you. That's why it's so important to stay steadfast and obedient in times of uncertainty, when it would be easier to walk away. you never know what God has for you on the other side of that yes. And I referenced Esther earlier. See, Esther was willing to risk her life to save her people by being put into a very uncomfortable and a risky situation. It would have been easier for her to stay quiet and comfortable in her kingdom, but she knew that that is not what God was calling her to. She knew that God had placed her in that palace for such a time as this to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish in her and through her. And Mordecai tells her, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai is saying to her, "Hey, if you don't go do this thing that needs to get done, God is going to use someone else because he's promised deliverance for his people. But what if he has put you in this position for such a time as this? What if God wants to use you in the place that he has you to deliver his people?" And then she says something so remarkable. She says, "Okay, go and do a fast. And then in 3 days, I'm going to approach the king." Mind you, it was against the law for her to do that. She could have been killed. He could have chosen to kill her for approaching him. But in faith and in obedience, she says, "Go do the fast, and then I'm going to approach the king and ask him to deliver my people. And after that, I will approach him." And then she says, "And if I die, I die." Remarkable. Who has that much faith to say, "I'm going to do it, and if I die, I die"? She was willing to be obedient, even unto death possibly, for approaching the king. See, it takes faith to see beyond what we see in the natural, to sense what God is doing through us in the supernatural. In other words, Esther was willing to see beyond that moment. She wanted her people to be delivered, and she wanted to be used by God, and she knew that he had raised her up for such a time as this. Our obedience and our faithfulness unlocks blessings and leads us into our destiny. See, I was talking to a young girl recently, and she was asking me for some advice about her job situation. And I asked her, I said, "Well, what is God asking you to do?" And she was like, "Well, I think he's asking me to stay put." And I kind of smiled and I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you that I've never regretted being obedient to God. Not once have I looked back at my life and thought, oh, I really regret that time I said yes to Jesus. I've never had that thought, but I've always had the opposite thought. I've always regretted when I didn't do the thing that God was asking me to do." So I told her, "Well, if that's what God is asking you to do, then do it, because I promise you will not regret it. And I would not be where I am standing today if I wouldn't have been obedient in seasons where it didn't make sense to stay put where I was." And I want to tell a story about a time when I was working at a chiropractor's office, okay? Very random, I know, because I knew nothing about chiropractics. I didn't go to chiropractor school. It was one of those instances where I had been praying and I was nannying full time, and I felt like God was asking me to lay that down, which I thought was very random. And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm not going to nanny anymore. What do you want me to do?" And then I applied to some jobs and nothing was working out. And then I met an owner of a chiropractic office and I got hired. He hired me to do some admin work and to verify insurance and to help with some of the patients, like the stretching and things like that, because I did not know how to crack anyone's back, okay? That wasn't my job. But When I was working in that chiropractor's office, there were many times where I did not understand what I was doing there. I didn't understand it at all. But one day I was working and I met a man named Russell Dotson. And Russell Dotson is a crucial part of my story because his obedience to God helped me to be obedient to God. When one day I was talking to Russell and he looks at me and he said, "Okay, so tell me about yourself. You know, how long you've been in chiropractic school? When are you graduating?" And I was like, "Well, actually, I'm not in chiropractic school. I'm just here because this is where God has me." And he kind of looked at me and goes, "Huh, what do you mean by that?" I was like, "I don't know. I've been praying, and this is the door that God opened, so this is the door I walked through. And for some reason, I'm here at the chiropractor's office in Cedar Hill." And he was like, "Well, what do you want to do with your life?" What a loaded question, right? Like, do we even know what we want to do with our lives? And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I believe that God has called me to preach the word of God one day. I believe I want to be in ministry someday. I just have these desires to serve the Lord." And he smiled and he said, "Well, you know, I'm a pastor at a church down the road, right?" And I was like, "Cool. What do I do with that information?" And he looked at me and he was like, "Come preach to my youth group. Let's get it scheduled. Let's exchange information. Come preach to my youth group." So we exchanged information, and then he invited me to come preach to their youth group, and I preached to their youth group. It was great. God showed up. People got saved. It was exciting. And then a couple of months later, he calls me on a Saturday evening, and he's like, "I know this is crazy. I came down with the flu suddenly. I've called every pastor in my phone book, and nobody is available tomorrow. Would you be ready to preach a sermon to my church tomorrow morning?" And I was like, "Oh, wow, I've never done that before." And I was so terrified, but that scripture of what if God is calling you for such a time as this kind of came to my mind. And so on a whim, I said, "Okay." And he said, "You'll do it?" And I was like, "Yeah." He was just as surprised as I was by my yes. Anyways, I show up, God showed up, it was great, and then I get another call from him a couple of days later saying, "Well, my congregation is so glad I got the flu because they loved you." And I was like, "Sorry about that." And we had a great conversation that day, and he said, "What would it take for you to quit your chiropractic job and come work for me?" And I was like, "Well, I need some money because, you know, I got bills to pay." And he asked me how much I was making, and I told him, and he said, "I'm going to go talk to my board. I'll get back to you later this week." Then he calls me later that week, and he says, "My board said that we can pay you that exact amount, and I'm going to create a position for you as a teaching pastor. So you're going to get to learn how to preach. You're going to get to study the word of God. You're going to get to do all the things that God's put on your heart." Okay, yeah, amen, God, because talk about an unexpected blessing in a random place, right? Random to me, but God saw the whole picture the whole time, amen. And it was in that church where I met Zach Routon, amen. I met my husband in that place, okay? And I look back at my life and I reflect on what seemed random to me, God had his hand on it every step of the way, because then there I met my husband, and then we got married pretty quickly. We moved to Maryland. We were on staff at a church there, and then we felt the Lord calling us back, and we ended up back at Grace Point Church because he had served here years ago when he was in Lead, Texas. And God just had his hand on every part. And I don't say that to brag on me, but to brag on God, because he is so faithful. How crazy is that, guys? Like, I cannot even comprehend it. Every time I tell that story, I'm like, Russell Dotson's crazy. Like, he didn't even know me. I could have been a lunatic. And he took a chance on me. But on that same token, I said yes to God, even though it was crazy and it didn't make sense. So just be faithful with where God has you right now, and I promise you will not forget it, because he will not fail you, guys. He's going to meet you in that random place. It's not random to him. You're at that job for a reason. You're in that place for a reason. God wants to use you, and what costs you in comfort will pay off in legacy one day. It's not just about us. It's about the legacy we leave behind for our children and for our families. And because of that, yes, my babies get to run these halls of Grace Point Church. They get to grow up amongst an amazing body of believers. And I am so thankful for that. And the last and most important point that I want to hit on today is to stay close to Jesus. Worship team, you can come on up. I know that sounds so simple and so practical. Well, yeah, Savannah, of course, I need to stay close to Jesus. But I cannot emphasize it enough, because if you get nothing else out of today, I hope that you get this. Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you so that he could have a chance to know you, to love you, to be in relationship with you. This isn't a religious routine or a religious act that we do, guys. It's about a relationship with Christ. And he longs for your heart. He longs for your affection. He longs for your attention. He wants all of you. He wants you. He loves you. He chose you. He's calling you. And you are the treasure that he died for. You are the apple of his eye. And God wants you to be in such a place where you love him so much that from that love, you're willing to do whatever it is he's asking you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it's crazy, even if it takes a crazy amount of faith, from that place of love, his heart desire for you is to say, God, I love you so much. I'm going to lay that thing down. I'm going to do that thing in faith and in obedience, even though it doesn't make sense right now. Even when it's uncertain, even when it would be easier and more comfortable and more convenient to do life my own way, I just love you, God. So I'm going to do it your way, because your way is better. Amen. And I want to take a look at Mary and Martha really quick as I close out. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So let me talk to all my mamas for a second, okay? I know the laundry has to get done. I know you need to cook dinner. I know you need to work. I know you got things to do. I know the to-do list is never ending. I get it. I have two babies. I know it's crazy. I know life is busy, but the most important thing that you can do for your family and for your home is to spend time with Jesus. That is the most important thing you can do. Men of God, the most important thing you can do for your family is to spend time in your word, praying over your wife, praying over your children. The most important gift you can offer is not your paycheck. The most important thing you can offer your family is a relationship with God so that you can lead them into the ways of the Lord. You need to be spending time with Jesus. And from that place, everything else will work itself out. I tell my four-year-old all the time, because she always wants me to be watching TV with her, playing with her, doing something, and I love doing those things, but there's times where I have to say, hey, baby, Mommy just needs a minute so I can go pray. Mommy just needs to go spend a little time with Jesus. I'll be right back. And she'll go, why, Mommy? Why? And I look at her and I say, because I'll be a better mommy when I've sat at the feet of Jesus. Because I will be able to be a better wife when I've sat at the feet of Jesus. I will be a better employee when I've sat at the feet of Jesus. She doesn't understand what I mean when I say, baby, I need to go spend some time with Jesus right now. But one day, she will know exactly what I'm talking about. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. I want to live that out, guys. I want to, and what I want for you is when you lay your head down at night, I want you to be thinking about Jesus. I want you to be meditating on his goodness, on his faithfulness, on his kindness. And that is his desire for each and every one of us, that we would just love him so much that our lives reflect it, that we stop what we're doing for a moment and we just say, Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I honor you with my life. I meditate on your word. Guys, you cannot do life without this word. You cannot be who he has called you to be without this weapon. How are you going to fight the lies of the enemy if you do not have this word in your heart? How are you going to combat the enemy when he tries to steal your health and your marriage? How are you going to come against him when he's lying to you, when he's trying to convince you to take your own life, when he's trying to convince you that you're alone, when he's trying to convince you that you don't matter? How are you going to combat those lies if you do not have this word in your heart? This is your lifeline, guys. This is your weapon. Worship is your warfare. You have to stay close to Jesus so that when the trials come, you know how to fight back. I'm tired of playing cute church. I'm tired of coming here on Sunday and feeling good all the time. Okay, I'm tired of doing that. I want to have authority, and I cannot have authority without this word of God in my heart. Yes. You know, and I started off today by talking about Corinthians. And today, moms, on your way out, as you're leaving, you're going to get a mirror. It's just a little handheld mirror, but I want that to mean something to you. Because like I referenced back in Corinthians, we cannot see the whole picture that's laid out for us right now, guys. It's going to be blurry. It feels confusing at times in the waiting. We do not understand what God is doing, but one day it will make sense and we will see clearly exactly why that thing had to happen, exactly why that door was slammed in our face, exactly why that heartbreak happened. And when you look in that mirror, I just want you to remember that God has seen you, God is with you, God is for you. He has not forgotten you or abandoned you. His word says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so as a gift today, we want to give that to you.